John's going to lead us in our first scripture reading, which comes from Revelation chapters 20 and 21. And just as John's coming up, one of the interesting things about our text in Daniel that we're going to see is that Daniel speaks of how, the angel speaks of how some of the things that he's revealing to him have been sealed. They haven't been revealed yet. Seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. And in Revelation, we have the same thing again, although this time John is told, do not seal up the words of this prophecy, because the time is near. That's why we're reading this passage. The earlier passage was clouded and clothed in a degree of mystery and a lack of understanding. Now the time is near. The end time is here, which is the time after the Lord Jesus, but before he returns again. And so these things are revealed.
So we start reading then at Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel coming down from out of heaven, having the keys of the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who was the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more, until 1,000 years were ended. After that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number they are like the sand of the sea on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophets had been thrown. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no death, no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Amen.
Now let's turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12, the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and the last section of the last chapter. Daniel 12, we read from verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others, one on this bank of the river and one on the opposite bank. One of them said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, "How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled?" The man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven. And I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, "It will be for a time, times and half a time, when the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed." I heard, but I did not understand. So I asked, "My Lord, what will the outcome of all this be?" He replied, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time that the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1,335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." This is the word of God. You've been packing madly, trying to get away on time in the morning for your family holiday. You woke up in the middle of the night, you remembered something that you'd forgotten to pack, and you thought you'd get up and put it in just in case you forgot in the morning, so your sleep was disturbed, but finally everything is stowed in its place, in the trailer, in the car. Trailer's attached, you sit back and sigh a sigh of relief. Sure, there's still the driving to go, but there's some time just to relax and enjoy this getaway, this break from the routine. And then just as you are settling into holiday mode, a little voice from the back seat pipes up. "Are we there yet? How much longer till we get there? You said it would be an hour. Has it been an hour yet?" It's been a minute, probably. Every parent can identify with this special category of speech that accomplishes nothing except irritation. Patience is something that we all struggle with at times. It's just something that's sometimes a little easier to identify in other people, especially perhaps in our children. But we all struggle with patience. We want the good thing that we're looking forward to be happening already. We want the struggles that we're experiencing to be over and something better on the horizon to have arrived. We can't wait when we're younger. We can't wait till our next birthday. How much longer will it be? How much longer till Christmas? Perhaps at the other end of our lives, we struggle with chronic pain or terminal illness. And we ask the same question. How much longer? How long till the end? How much longer will it be? And maybe that helps us identify in part with the opening question in our text this morning as we reach the end of the book of Daniel, but far from the end of the future events that have been expressed. How long will it be before these astonishing things are fulfilled? That's the question Daniel has. That's the question we have living some 2,500 years or so after Daniel. How long will it be? How long before all that has been prophesied will come to pass? How long until the end? How long until Christ returns? How long, O Lord? And you know, the temptation of Christians throughout history has been to try to give an answer to that question. And I say that it's been a temptation because everyone who has given an answer so far has been wrong. The disciples themselves tried to get an answer to that question from Jesus. Many in the early church thought that Jesus' return was imminent. When Rome fell to the barbarian hordes, many felt that surely Christ's return must be at hand. In the time of the Reformation, the Roman Church was commonly interpreted as the Antichrist, which meant that the time of the end was very near. At the peak of the Cold War, you had predictions of Christ's return no later than the end of the 1980s with Hal Lindsey in his book that some of you will remember, The Late Great Planet Earth. Y2K, who remembers that? Y2K, another recent possibility. It's a temptation of Christians to try to give an answer to that question in our text, how long will it be before these things are fulfilled? But the answer is, we don't know. You and I might say that, we don't know, but the angel gives Daniel an answer in verse 7. How long will it be? The angel says, it will be for a time, times, and half a time. When the power of the holy people has been finally broken, all these things will be completed. And in one sense, that is an answer to the question, isn't it? It is an answer to the question. But realistically, we're like Daniel himself. Given that answer to the question, what does Daniel say? He says, I heard, but I did not understand. I heard, but I did not understand. That's Daniel. And what's interesting, surely, is that Daniel is happy to rest in not understanding. He doesn't ask for further clarity about when all these things will happen, when the end will come. He doesn't ask if a time, times, and half a time means 1 year, 2 years, and half a year for a total of 3.5 years. He doesn't ask if it means 3.5 days. He doesn't ask if it just means a defined period of time less than a perfect time, 3.5 being half of 7, the perfect number. He doesn't ask what it means that the power of the holy people will finally be broken. He doesn't ask that question. He heard, but he did not understand. In congregation, surely there's wisdom for us in this answer. After all, what did Jesus say? Jesus said at the end of his parable, he said, therefore keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Who knows? Only my Father in heaven. Only my Father in heaven. We do know in part. We know from Revelation 20 that we read before that wasn't sealed, that has been opened up, that we're living in a period of time in which Satan is bound. 1,000 years, not, I believe, a literal period of time, but a long period of time. We know that for now, Satan no longer has the power to deceive the nations, as we saw the other Sunday. We know from what we read that he will be set free for a short period of time at the very end. We do know some, we know in part, but so much is in the shadows. So much is heard but not understood. Much is unknown. And according to Daniel's example, that's okay. Daniel does, however, have a question of his own. It's a question of his own in verse 8. He says, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? He doesn't understand the when, but he wants to know the what. What will the outcome of all this be? What will be the end result? What will be the finished product of what God is doing? The angel replies, "Go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. From the time the daily sacrifice is abolished and the abomination that causes desolation is set up, there will be 1290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of the 1335 days. As for you, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance." There are at least four things I think we can notice here. The first is that the words are closed up and sealed. That means until the events are fulfilled, they are clothed in a degree of mystery. And as we've already said, that's okay. The words are closed up and sealed. Second, the angel speaks here of the outcome of many being purified, made spotless and refined. Notice they don't purify themselves. Look at the wording of the text. They don't make themselves spotless. And refining is something that happens to someone, not something that they do themselves. These are passive. Many will be purified. And that passive, friends, points to the work of God. A work that would be accomplished through the death of Jesus, who died to purify us, who died to make us spotless, who died to refine us and to reshape us into his image. That's a glorious outcome that the angel says for us. Third thing we notice, the wicked continue in wickedness. Did you notice that? Until the return of Christ, there are many who are deceived, who don't understand. Why don't they understand? Because they have hearts of stone. They don't have the Spirit to bring them life. And so the angel saying to Daniel, expect to see wickedness around you throughout the remainder of human history until everything has been fulfilled. And so what that means for us, friends, is that the existence of wickedness and evil in itself is not a sign that Christ is about to return. Rather, it is situation normal. Don't be caught off guard. And fourth, those who persevere will be saved. Go your way till the end, the angel says. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Daniel, for it is God who is at work in you. As the writer to the Hebrews says in Hebrews 10, "So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." And what is promised here in Daniel? At first, that Daniel and all who follow in the footsteps of the faith of Daniel and the faith in Daniel's God, all who follow Daniel and those who follow in the footsteps of faith of Daniel will rest. And then that we will rise. We will rise to receive our allotted inheritance. See what the angel's doing here? The angel is speaking here in the Old Testament, before the resurrection of Jesus. The angel is speaking about the resurrection of the dead. You will rest, you will sleep, you will die, but you will rise at the end of the days to receive your allotted inheritance. As Revelation 20, we read before, explains in greater detail, the dead will rise and be judged for their life on earth. And the wicked will be thrown into the lake of fire, the second death. But those whose names are written in the book of life will receive their allotted inheritance, life in the new heavens and the new earth, the recreated world. These are what the outcomes will be of what Daniel has been told. The outcomes of the time of the end. And what should we draw from these outcomes in our further reading in Revelation? If I can make four observations this morning. And the first is this. The reality of hell. First, hell for the wicked is as real as heaven for those who have been purified and made spotless by the blood of the Lamb. Hell's reality is very clear to us from the Bible. It's described in images here and from our reading in Revelation 20. That's true. They are unpleasant images. And we should be sobered by these images this morning. Because as the scriptures say, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Sin is that bad, and we can treat it so lightly in our own lives, but it will get what it deserves. Not more, not less, what it deserves. The doctrine of hell, friends, is a hard teaching of the scriptures. But we can't just pick and choose what we like and rip a few pages out of the Bible if something is not what we would prefer. In fact, the person who speaks most about the reality of hell and its existence, the person who speaks most about the reality of hell in the Bible is none other than Jesus himself. We can be assured that his words are true. So that could be our first observation as we reflect on the time of the end and what we know is to come from what Daniel has told us, what Revelation has told us. We see the reality of hell. The second observation we might make, however, this morning is that salvation is found in Jesus. Salvation's found in Jesus. You see, Jesus is the one of whom Daniel and the angel was speaking when he speaks of the righteous being made spotless. Jesus is the one who purifies. Jesus is the one who makes spotless. Jesus is the one who refines us. We can't purify ourselves. We can't make ourselves spotless. We can't refine ourselves into holiness. But friends, what we can't do, God can do, and Jesus has done. Jesus came to save sinners. He gave up his life to accomplish these realities. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one finds this promised rest. No one receives the allotted inheritance except through me." What that means is this. It means that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you need not fear death. Death for you will be a doorway, not the end of a road. Death will be for you a doorway, an opening into the allotted inheritance that's been promised for you. With Christ immediately after your death until his return, and then life continuing, eternal after that. Salvation's found in Jesus. Praise the Lord. And the third observation this morning is that we can wait patiently for what is to come. We can wait patiently for what is to come. You know what talk and conversation and debates about the end times are like. They're filled with stories about Armageddon and beasts and battles and temples being rebuilt and all those sorts of things. And we just have to say this morning in all humility, we do not know what the time prior to Christ's return will be like exactly. We do know, however, as we've seen, that we're safe in the hands of God. No one can pluck us from that position of safety, that position of rest. Our allotted inheritance is not going to be taken away from us. Martin Luther said, "Though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed his truth to triumph through us." And so we can wait patiently because God will protect his people. And if we're in Christ, we're assured of life. Our inheritance, the allotted inheritance, is guaranteed. And even the demon armies of Satan gathered at the last battle, as we read of in Revelation 20, cannot overcome God's people. Why? Because God loves his people. And we will rise to receive the inheritance. And then I have one final observation as well, and that is that we should use this window of opportunity, the time that God has given us before the end. We should use this as a window of opportunity. Go your way until the end, Daniel is told. Go your way. Live by faith. And so in the light of the reality of heaven and hell, and the salvation that is found in Jesus and only in Jesus, now's the time. Now's the time for God's people to be active in spreading the word, to be heralds of hope until the end. There's a way of escape from the judgment that's coming. A way to be purified, a way to be made spotless, a way to be refined by God through faith in Jesus. And so we should have confidence as we go about the Lord's work in this world, about gospel work. What do we read before? Satan is bound. He can deceive the nations no longer. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So let the name of the Lord be proclaimed from our lips that the lost might be saved. And so let's give ourselves and give our all to this task. There will come a time, there will come a day when we can enjoy rest. But that rest isn't finishing school. That rest isn't found in reaching retirement. The rest we will enjoy is in the life to come. Now we give ourselves to the mission that Jesus has given us. Go your way, Daniel is told. Go as a faithful servant of the living God, a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ until the end. How long do we have? How long do we have for gospel ministry? How long will it be before it is the end and those opportunities will be no more? How long do we have? We don't know. Nobody knows. But we do know the outcome. And we do know the mission that Jesus has given us until the end. So do not fear. Find hope. Take courage. Be motivated in the mission God has given us until Christ comes again. Amen.